Where is Austin at mentally and physically as he is dealing with some struggles on the field right now? Who are some backup running backs you need to know down the stretch, including Zach Moss from the Indianapolis Colts? And finally, we offer a couple bold predictions, and I mean seriously bold predictions, for the upcoming 49ers-Eagles game. All that and more coming up on Eckler's Edge. Let's get into it. It's Wednesday, November 29th. I'm Matt Harmon. Welcome to Eckler's Edge, presented by Toyota, part of the Yahoo Fantasy Football Show. It is a hell of a day to talk ball, and joining me to do just that is, of course, LA Chargers running back Austin Eckler. Austin, it's been a minute. What's going on, buddy?
It has been a minute. We did have that thing called Thanksgiving, so we took 1 week off, but we are back nonetheless. So guess what? I'm excited for Eckler's Edge today. Ready to bring some banging content and have a good time and catch up with you, man. How was everything?
Hey, things are good. Thanksgiving was fun. Always good. Made a banging meal, you know. Stressful as always.
Yep. But, hey, when you have family around, you know, it can go a few different ways. But I think the drama and stress is one of those that's probably common just around many households. So I feel you there.
It can go a variety of ways is definitely a good way of saying it. It could go many different ways. But yeah, it's good to see you again, man. I hope your Thanksgiving was awesome. I know you had some virtual time with the family and everything, so that's great.
Absolutely.
On a not fun note, Austin, it's not been a fun time for you on the field since we've seen you, buddy, unfortunately.
Yeah. You know, coaches always say, you know, go out there and have fun. Well, have fun. When you get older, that means win. And if you don't win, it's not fun. It's not fun at all. But it doesn't matter. You're still going to go through the grind. You're still going to try to, you know, prepare and come back next week. But, you know, it's coming out of the wire for us right now. Like, we're 4-7. Like, we don't really have a lot of room for error at this point in the season. And so we got to get on a run. It starts one at a time. But, yeah, we got to get it figured out. And it comes down to just our players that have made plays for us in the past. We got to come back and we got to make those same plays. We can't live below the standard of expectation. We have to live up to it. And if anything, try to succeed that, which we are, but it's football. So, you know, you could, your wants and needs have to come alive on Sunday. And guess what? You're going against someone who's opposing that also has the same wants and needs. So that's where we get this thing called competition, which we also love to watch. So that's what makes the NFL great, but also can make it very emotional because there's ups and downs and ins and outs.
Yeah, emotional, frustrating. I can imagine that's kind of where it is after some of these games. And, you know, obviously, big Sunday night football game against the Ravens. What a tough defensive unit. I made the joke on Twitter during the game when you took a kind of like a combo tackle, what I'll call it, between from Roquan Smith and Patrick Queen. I said, well, Austin Eckler, you know, is the only fantasy football podcast host who could take a hit from those two guys and get up to tell the tale. And there was some pushback, which there shouldn't have been, okay? Even the Yahoo Fantasy handle replied to me. He's like, well, maybe his co-host should try to do it next. I'm like, yeah, we're going to have to renegotiate. We're going to have to renegotiate the salary before I'm doing any of that. So definitely a tough fought game. As we always say, defenses get paid too. But coming out of that game, Austin, you know, we do a show the day before this one on the podcast called the People's Panic Meter, where the people send in the player that has them the most panicked. And, you know, your name for the first time, definitely all season, was submitted to the People's Panic Meter. Had a few people like, this is going to be an uncomfortable conversation because he's, you know, he's your co-host. I'm like, yo, have you all just been skipping the Eckler's Edge episodes? Because, like, there's nobody who's more self-critical of his performance. Nobody's harder on Austin Eckler than Austin Eckler, even when things are going well for you. So I'm just curious, where are you at right now from a physical perspective? Like, you know, just everything going mentally, where are you at right now?
Yeah, man. We've been going through some times. And I say we as a team because we've been losing. But, you know, I also look internally to myself. And have I been living up to my expectation, to my standard? And as of now, no. You could look at the stats. No, it hasn't been there. And so, you know, it's something that I look at every single week. And there's nothing that I can drastically change where it's like, oh, well, I wasn't doing this before. Now I need to start doing this. And now it's going to magically change. It's not how the NFL works. Everything is gradual, right? You usually see like gradual changes in things and tendencies and habits and things like that. So for me, it's really just trying to make sure I stay on track, stay true to who I am as a player. And yeah, I'll work different things here and there in practice as far as like tackle breaking. That's one thing that I haven't done a very good job at this year is breaking tackles. And so, you know, when they're on special teams period, what am I doing? You see me over there, I have like some pop-ups and right, I'm working my muscle memory. I'm working through my different moves and different scenarios. I'm setting up different scenarios of practice. So I get it. I'm working through this stuff. I know where I'm deficient right now. Obviously I put the ball on the ground for the past 2 weeks. Can never, ever, 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 ever do that again. And that's another emphasis. Okay. Like let's make sure that muscle memory is there and it's not getting too relaxed. And so for me, I'm still attacking every single week. Like I have to go out there and be the best player on the damn field every single week. It's no question. But like I said, what you do throughout the week has to show up on Sundays. And so that's where it comes down to for me. Like I got to show up for this team. This is what this team needs from me. They need Austin to go out there and make plays because that's what I've shown in the past. That's what they're expecting now. And same for me. And that's what they should because that's exactly what I'm expecting. That's why you drafted me in your fantasy team. And so guess what? I'm putting everything into it. Should you panic? That's for you to decide. Cause look, I can't panic. I have no room to panic. I got a job to do. I got to make sure that I'm out there showing up for my team every week. And even if it wasn't good last week, guess what? I have another opportunity coming up, to make it right. And that's, you know, one of the blessings in football is you get a few opportunities, but they do start to run out. If you don't hold that expectation, you will get cut. You will get replaced. Like I know this job. That's how I got to this spot that I'm in right now. You know, I had to work my way up. And so, just making sure I know my mind's in the right spot. I'm really locked in on making sure, hey, like I got a job to do. Let me get it done at the highest level. But it's appropriate to take the appropriate amount of ownership. You can go too far where it's like you're trying to do too much now, but that's where being an athlete and being in a routine is very helpful and having coaches that have your back where it's like, okay, like, make sure this is what you need to do. Like this is all you can do. Don't try to go outside of that. Don't try to go be Superman out there. Cause guess what? You're still Austin Eckler, which is a good thing. Cause I've shown some good things, but, I'm kind of going on a tangent here, but I'll end with this. My mind is in the right spot. My mind is in the right place. I'm coming at every single week and making sure that I'm trying to be in the position to make the best of my opportunities on the field. And whether it happens or not, it really doesn't matter for me. Like I would need to adjust and move on and continue to try to play at my best. So that's where I'm at, man. Like I'm not up or down. I am very neutral, very neutral.
Yeah. I think that's the best way to approach these things, right? Like you've done this for years. You've played at a really high level. You've had low moments throughout your career too. Like we've talked about them on this. This is not the first time we've talked about like a slump for Austin Eckler on the podcast. You know, this is not the first time. So I think people, you know, will extrapolate things at certain times and think it's always going to be this way or like, oh yeah, is Austin on the decline or something like that. But you know, I know how you approach these things and it is from a consistency basis and it's a responsibility basis too. You're not coming on here and being like, well, you know what? I'm doing my job, but X player is not, you know, blocking for me right or coach is not calling the plays right like that. So I know it's like an individual accountability type of situation.
Yeah. And Matt, guess what? It's my job to prove all the people that are like, oh, he's going to do this. For the rest of the year, he's going to be a bust this year. It's my job to prove him wrong, right? And how do I do that? Mm-hmm. Well, I have the opportunity on Sunday. And so that's what I look forward to every single week is going out here and just putting on a show, man. And, you know, it hasn't been what it has been in the past, but it doesn't mean that's what it's going to be like forever. So I'm looking forward to get back out there. I cannot wait to get back to practice and put another great week together and go play on the East Coast against the Patriots.
Yeah. Patriots not having a fun time either, by the way. I don't know if you've...
losing sucks, man. It really sucks because when you're in a locker room too, like you might have a bunch of good dudes, guys that have, you know, a lot of talent, a lot of potential. But guess what? If it's not clicking on Sundays, then you're like, okay, like you can't scramble. Like you can't scramble because it's right. Like you have what it takes, but how is it not clicking? So it's not something that you can go and like, oh, all of a sudden now we're losing. Now we need to start trying hard. Like we've been doing everything that we possibly could. We're trying to put good game plans together. We're putting good weeks of practice together. But man, I know how the Patriots feel where it's like, gosh, like we feel like we have pieces, we have potential, but it's not coming alive like we thought it would. And the only thing you can do is get back to work. And so I know that's what they're going to be doing. That's what we're going to be doing. We're both looking to get on a streak. I think it was like Jacksonville actually last year. They were 4-7. And then they ended up winning like 6 games in a row. They won all their games in a row, then beat us in the playoff game. Kind of gives you some light in the darkness where it's like, yeah, it could be done. It's not going to be easy. Absolutely not. But you know, you're not done. You're not out until you're out. So that's kind of where we're at right now. It's like, hey, let's get back to work and let's get a streak going.
Yeah. And you just look at the AFC playoff race. It's still very, very wide open there for those wild card spots. There's a few teams that have established themselves, and then there's a few teams like in seed 5, 6, 7, that's like, all right, well, do we really think this team can hang on to it? Can they? I don't know. Maybe. Or some of these teams, like, I mean, the Bills are going through it. You guys are going through it. You know, some of these more like teams with expectations, right? Like, can they get back on track? There's injuries and stuff like that. But yeah, losing sucks, man. Obviously, it's no fun to come on the pod and be like, all right, let's talk to Austin about why things aren't going well right now. You know, I'd have loved to come on this show and be like, Austin, dive into the play that, you know, where Keenan throws you the pass and they convert third to 17. That'd be awesome. But like, what's the point of talking about that when you lose the game? It's not as fun. And you know, then people are dissecting every quote you give after games and like, oh yeah, but if you're winning, nobody gives a damn what Austin says after the game. But when you're losing, then it's like, well, yeah, but look what he said here and look
what he said. Crazy, like, it's crazy, man. Like, man, the emotions and the fan bases, it's kind of outrageous, you know. And it's not everybody, but really it's the keyboard warriors, you know, because it's funny you say it, like, if I post anything through the week after we lost, like, you should get back to work or hold on to the ball or my fantasy team is losing because of you. And it's just like,
oh yeah.
I get it too.
People, but like when I posted that tweet in the middle of the game, people were like, well, maybe he should spend less time podcasting and more time, you know, being better at football. So yeah, I'm like, you know, we've done this show for multiple years now. So I don't know don't get me involved in this. Okay. Like this is not my fault.
Man, hey, and I know that's a minority, but you know, the toxicity speaks loud when it's the only people, because those are the people that are like really emotional and they actually go and like comment. It's like the Yelp reviews. It's like either all really good or all really bad. You know, it's like there's nothing really in the middle. All the people that are just like kind of on the fence are just like, yeah, whatever, not going to comment. But so you get one or the other. What's drastic do you have? And so obviously, when it's like it is now, you're going to get the toxicity that comes out. And which, look, when you get into sports, you're going to have to be ready for that. Like, people are going to be very critical. Like, people are going to be, you know, judging because, you know, they have this loyalty to these logos. And so they want to see the logo. Whoever's on the team's doing well. And if you're not performing well for the logo that you play for and they're a fan of, then get rid of them. You suck. Or if you do well, might be next week. They're like, yeah, he's back. You know, and it's very roller coaster. And so, like I said, when you're in it as a player, you got to stay neutral. Like, you got to stay neutral. If you don't, you're going to drive yourself crazy. So, and in the podcast world, we have to as well. We got to stay
right.
There's going to be people that try to tear us down, give you one clip of you said something that maybe sounded out of context, sounded terrible, or you made a pick that people are like, oh, I use Matt's pick and he sucks now. And then the opposite too, where like, oh, he's the best. I only use Matt. So guess what? We got to stay neutral, man.
That's right. Just the process is the process, whether it's on the field, whether it's podcasting, you know, doing any of that stuff. You just got to stay consistent with what you do. If you're doing the right things, it'll work out in the end.
It tends to.
This is true for everything in life. And, you know, until your time comes, then it's it. That's over.
You know. Ooh, that's another thing, though, because we actually talked about it where it's like, you know, you put in so much work and you feel like you have the talent, you have things, but you don't get the result, you know, and it's one of those things in life that can be so frustrating. And I'm not even talking football anymore. I'm just talking just things in life where you're putting in the time, you're working hard, right? And hard work doesn't always amount to getting success or getting some type of result that you're even wanting. But what it does amount to is you growing as a person internally, which hopefully in some time will help you reach some type of goal that you're trying to get. And so unfortunately in football, we don't have a lot of time. You know, that's why we see the trades and the cutting and the new draft picks coming in. And so that's why the emotion is so rushed and so right away. But just over the longevity, if we're just talking life here, man, like, yeah, what you said, as long as you continue to put one foot in front of another and have a good process that keeps you moving forward and progressing and adding on to your skills and making those a little bit more firm than they were the day before, then you're on the right path to doing something great, hopefully something fulfilling for your life. And so I know football is a big part of my life right now, but a bigger part of my life is just this journey that I'm on, you know, and football happens to be a big part of it. But really, what I'm really blessed to be a part of is just this thing that we get experience that we call life. So kind of getting deep here and off the kind of rails, we can reel it back in. But yeah, man, I hope you guys are all progressing in something in your life.
For sure. Look, you and I are both in very fortunate positions to get to do what we do. You know, you're an NFL player. I get to do this job, which is weird. I mean, how the hell am I doing this? This is better than having a real job, right? You know, so it's just one of those things, man, with, you know, I get to watch Sunday football with my little blankie and my hot cocoa.
What a call. And get blanket
and get paid to do it. What a blessing. But yeah, no, we're very fortunate. We know that. So you and I can take crap from people because, you know, we know we're in a good spot here with
signed
this,
up for
this thing. Yeah, we signed up for it and that is perfectly all right. Before we move on here, just quick check in on our fantasy league. Because we haven't done it in a couple weeks. I went 1-1 during our little break here. You have officially clinched a playoff spot, my friend, in this league. I think you're 9-3 after defeating John Daigle from 4-4, firmly entrenched as that number two seed right now. Chris Harris is still undefeated in this league. Ah. I was just on Chris's podcast yesterday. And he was like, yeah, I heard you bring this up often. I'm like, yeah, I bring it up often. I'm tilted about it because, like, you're one of my closest buddies in the industry and you're in this league, you know, kicking my ass. It's not fair. It's outrageous. So he did have the first pick. He went Christian McCaffrey. We're going to talk about later. So things have gone well for him. But I am definitely in that spot now, Austin, where, you know, I'm fighting for my life. OK, in the playoffs where the Chargers are at right now. I'm 5-7. I am the current seventh seed. Hold the tiebreaker over four other 5-7 teams, but I have no more margin for error. I got to win out. Okay. So I'm going to need you to step it up. Number one, need you to step it up. Number two, I need a couple other breaks to go my way. Jalen Hurts to continue to do what he's been doing. So that is the update on our fantasy league.
I love it. I love it. The accountability here. Hey man, I got your back, bro. I too need Austin Eckler to step up, for reasons outside of fantasy, you know? So I'm with you on that one, man. But yeah, my team, we've been crushing it. So I'm looking forward to it. You know, if I keep moving up, maybe you keep moving up. We might see another rematch then in the playoffs then. That would be epic.
That would be exciting. That would be exciting. We'd love to see that. On my fantasy team is a player we're going to talk about right now because the current starter ahead of him, Jonathan Taylor, we just found this out this morning, has a thumb injury, putting his status in doubt for the fantasy football playoff season and the Colts playoff push in real life. They're one of these teams in the AFC that could potentially, like right now, I think they're the seventh seed. They're 6-5. They have really outkicked expectations despite not playing with their, you know, number four overall rookie quarterback, Anthony Richardson. Gardner Minshew has been playing for him, but JT might miss a couple games here. That brings us to Zach Moss, who is currently rostered in just 49% of Yahoo leagues, Austin, including ours, because he's on my team. I just want to make a point about this, and I know you enjoy sort of the like fantasy strategy part of it. I cannot stress to people how important it is this time of year. Like, just try like hell to not drop these backup running backs like a Zach Moss type. I realize, like, again, he's on my team. Trust me, I know this, that at the beginning of the season when Jonathan Taylor was out, this guy was crushing it. I mean, absolutely, you know, going off, right? Like, he had these massive games, 18 points, 20 points, you know, 32 points, like these massive games. And he was a huge reason why my team was good and maybe not so good now because I had Zach Moss available to me. And then, you know, Jonathan Taylor gets back and predictively, you know, Zach Moss gets kind of pushed to the side a little bit there because despite the fact he had played well for the Colts, they signed JT to this big contract. They want to have him around, right? That's the business of football. That's how it goes. And I mean, shoot, can't blame him. Jonathan Taylor was awesome on Sunday, and he's been awesome for the Colts since he got back. I know how it's like, people. Okay, I know that you get to the point where it's like, this guy's not helping me right now. He's a backup. I can never play him. I just got to go ahead and drop him to pick up, you know, some backup quarterback or whatever, the flavor of the week off the waiver wire. Try like hell not to do that, okay? Because then this something like this can happen, and now, like, everybody is going to be rushing to the waiver wire and trying to pick up Zach Moss, and you're going to feel like a jackass because you were the one that dropped him. So that is, if I can give anybody a tip as we come here closing into fantasy playoff time, like, stash these backup running backs that we know are good and are going to walk into a huge workload if the starter ever gets hurt.
Yeah, I like it. And I think you need to be on it on Sundays too. We got to be watching these games, you know, like, okay, like, does someone go down, keep up with the injuries, keep up with all of that. And then obviously you can get a jump on it, you know, maybe depending on what your waiver wire is like. But yeah, you know, I'm just looking at his stats right now, and it was pretty obvious when JT came back, you know, 3 weeks ago, where Zach Moss's carries, or maybe it was 4 weeks, Zach Moss's carries were like 20 plus a game around there, and then went down to 7-1 and then 10, you know, last week. But yeah, he was crushing it. He's, you know, at the beginning of the season, oh my God, like 107 total yards, 145, hit a 195. Like, dude is absolutely popping off. And then, you know, also getting to the end zone as well there. So I feel like Zach Moss is one of those guys that could be the starter on a team. And yeah, he's just kind of, you know, got JT in front of him. You know, it's kind of reminds me of, we're talking about Christian later, but he had, who was it, Mitchell? When he was
Elijah Mitchell.
Yeah, Elijah Mitchell. He was, man, this guy's a stud. And then Christian came in and was like, well, I mean, this guy's the GOAT, you know, as far as, you know, playing running back, the running back position right now. So kind of got pushed to the side of just, hey, it was just an unfortunate situation. But I'm excited for Zach Moss, not only for the rest of the season, but also excited where he ends up next year. I think he's on the last year of his deal. I think he'll sign it 1 year. But just looking forward to seeing him in the future, what happens for him. Another one of the 5'8", 5'9" running backs out there. So, you know.
But Elijah Mitchell's a great call by you, pal, because he's only 17% rostered in Yahoo leagues. Another guy that, like, okay, you know, freaking knock on wood, you know, do whatever voodoo ritual you want to wish this to not happen. But if Christian McCaffrey gets hurt this week, next week, whatever, and number one, maybe Chris Harris will stop winning games and dunking on us in this fantasy league. But number two, I guarantee you everybody in your league is going to be rushing to pick up Elijah Mitchell off waivers.
Right.
Do not allow it to happen. If you have some fifth receiver that you are never going to play, God forbid you have like a backup defense or a backup tight end, like that player is never going to make the maybe defense is different because, you know, you're streaming your matchups, whatever. But like these bench players at this point, get rid of them because they're probably never going to make, I mean, you know, whatever wide receiver that's you're never going to start at this point, like, you know, your guys are your guys. You need to win every single game going forward into the playoffs and then make the playoffs and make the championship. Like Elijah Mitchell, you may never start him. But again, tell yourself the story about what if happens, you know, if a guy gets hurt in front of him.
That's a good point. I actually have an example. Like I have Juju on my roster right now, and he's been on my roster for like, I don't know, like 6-7 weeks. And I don't ever plan on starting him because my other receivers are just more efficient. And so it's like, yeah, okay, do I need him on the team? Can I pick up another receiver that maybe can get me 4 or 5 points a week if I really need it? Probably, you know, but yeah, if there is something that comes up, you know, with one of these guys, because the receiver position is a little different, right? Where it's like a committee of receivers on every team, yeah, where the running back is, there's only one. So it's going to be really concentrated. That's why I think it's really important, right? What you're saying is with, especially with the running backs, and it's not really applicable with any really other position, maybe the tight ends, but you know, just their ceiling's a little bit lower, but it gets really concentrated to one person at that running back position. So 100% agree with what you're saying here.
Yeah, I mean, shoot, Juju's a great example. You will never start Juju again. If you have to start right. Juju at some point, your team is already screwed, okay?
Right.
So look at it that way.
Well, it's maybe not screwed, but it's like, okay, it means one of my, you know, other receivers went down and I need to plug in at somebody. And so it's like, right. Juju's, like I said, been scoring like 2 to 3 points a week where it's like, okay, I could probably pick up someone off the waiver wire that can do that and maybe stash something that might give me more upside if something else happens in the injuries or, you know, something like that. The running back spot. So
yeah, Tajay Spears, if anything happened to Derrick Henry, the rookie running back there, he's got a lot of juice. I mean, Rico Dowd, sure. if anything ever happened to Tony Pollard, like, again, and it's, this is where it's difficult too, and you know, not every backup running back is created equal, right? Like sometimes
right.
it does become a situation where you just said like one guy steps up, sometimes two guys step up, sometimes a starter goes down and then there's a committee. Okay, so there's right. there's a difference there, but sometimes just there's a clear cut, and Mitchell's a great example, even though they have Jordan Mason, who's a, you know, popped up before. Zach Moss right now, I think he might be the best example in the league, which is why we're having this conversation, that when he goes down, we've already seen it's just JT, you know. So it's hard because not every situation is clear, and there are these committees, but the ones that are like gold mines like that, potentially check your waiver wire this week and just make sure that they're, like, you know, they're rostered. I mean, Zach Moss is going to get picked up at this point, but yeah, just a good tip as we head into the fantasy
Great
playoffs.
Tip.
Speaking of some guys, running backs, you know, the smaller guys, you know, sub 6 feet.
Shout out to the small running backs out there, you know, the under 200 pound club.
Yeah, the sub 200 pound club. We talked about Jaylen Warren last week as a guy who might, you know, remind some people of Austin Eckler. We're going to talk about a couple other smaller running backs here that I think potentially could be real. I hate the term league winner, Austin, because it's like you need more than one player to win your league. But, you know, it's some guy who could really vault you the rest of the way and make your team very, very good. We're talking about a couple of those guys here. One, I think, has a clear-cut path to being. He's kind of already been that guy. The other, maybe, we'll keep an eye on here. We're going to talk Kyren Williams from the LA Rams and Keaton Mitchell. Let's start with Kyren Williams, Austin. He's an interesting back because he has just been absolutely smashing this year. I mean, I think he scored 9 combined touchdowns. He missed 4 weeks with the high ankle sprain, and he was on IR. You know, the Rams were kind of cagey with, is it a high ankle sprain? Is it a low high ankle sprain? Is it a low? Okay, whatever. He was on the IR with an ankle sprain.
Prepositions in there. Like, what is it?
Way too much going on there. Anyways. This is a guy who, coming into the year, was really not drafted in many fantasy leagues. He is at the combine. He was 5'9", 194 pounds. He ran a 4.65, 9.8 broad jump, 32 vertical jump. I mean, really nothing that the combine bros, the athletic testing bros, would really look in and be like, this is a guy to really get excited about. Actually, it was pretty funny. I'm reading Lance Zierlein, who does great work from NFL.com. He said in his scouting report, I talked to a former NFL running backs coach, and he said, quote, I might be a little lighter on, might be a little higher on him than others are. You look at how the Chargers use Austin Ekeler, and I can see something like that similar for Kyren. Pretty interesting. I didn't know that until I read that this morning. So I'm curious, from your perspective, what have you seen from a guy like Kyren Williams, who, you know, again, wasn't expected to be this guy, but has been a monster touchdown scorer, has carried like heavy workloads, played like 100%, 95% of the snaps in some of these games.
Yeah, I went back and did a little research on him, and definitely can tell why he's been having success. And it really comes down to his efficiency in running. And the thing is, the running back position, yeah, if you have, you know, amazing speed, it's great. But the measurables don't really take into account, right, the efficiency of being a runner, of reading runs, of reading blocks, of how to set up a man and make him miss one-on-one, of changing the angle. Like, you can't test that thing. That's where you look at, you know, someone's film to see if they have those instincts of being a runner. And when I started watching Williams, it was like, okay, yep, I can see it immediately, where I can see how he's setting up blocks, how he's making really efficient cuts. Like, when you get into open space, I love how there's a couple times you change angles, right? And what do I mean by change angles? Like, if you're getting through the line, you break through the line, and all of a sudden you might change like 15 degrees, but just changing 15 degrees now makes it so the safety has to take an angle. Now, boom, I cut back against the 15 degree angle that I changed, and it gave me space to actually move that guy. And so I see him doing that, which I love. And so when I see just efficient runners, where it's not always a home run hitter, but it's in the right spot, right time, good timing. Timing is another big thing that's really important with the running back, making sure that you're in sync with your offensive line. And I'm seeing it all come together. And I think it's shown. I think he's got something against the Cardinals, because, I mean, he went crazy versus them twice in a row, you know, back to back. That was wild. I was looking at his stats and stuff. I'm like, did they play the Cardinals back to back? But then, you know, obviously there was the injury in there. And then so he played the Cardinals, popped off, came back against them again. They went for even more the second time. And so, look, I'm looking forward to seeing if he can keep up that type of, if he can keep that up, then, I mean, shoot, he'd be all pro. But if he can keep up some type of just rate of efficiency with what he's been doing, because he has been getting a lot of touches here. So if he can keep it up, then yeah, we've got another stud in the making coming into his second year, and looking forward to see kind of how the rest of this year progresses for him.
Yeah, it was crazy because in week one, he comes out, gets 15 carries and scores 2 touchdowns. And everybody expected Cam Akers to be the starting back on that team. Cam Akers has since been traded to the Minnesota Vikings and is now, unfortunately, out for the year with another Achilles tear. But everybody's like, whoa, Kyren Williams, what's he popping up here? You know what? 2 touchdowns. And he only played, I say only, played 65% of the snaps in that game. But if you looked at it from, like, because they blew out the Seahawks in week one, if you look at it from quarters 1 to 3, he was on the field like damn near every play. And then Cam Akers kind of came in for that cleanup duty at the end of it. And then you look from week two, 95% of the snaps. Week three, 100% of the snaps. Like, he's damn Christian McCaffrey out there playing every single play. And if you go back to his scouting report, one other thing I will note again from me watching him at Notre Dame, guy was a really good pass protector too. All of the, like, subtle stuff that you mentioned there from his rushing ability, that was definitely present, and he was just kind of like a good college player, but he was also like a really refined pass protector. So yeah, there were a lot of ways to sort of see this coming for Kyren Williams, but it was very like under the surface. And just a great reminder too, that this was a guy, again, not drafted in any league. And some people, you know, it's always tough, Austin, when you get the guy like surprises in week one, like, do I go all out, you know, in my fantasy league on waivers? Do I spend 100% of my budget? How much of my budget do I blow on this guy? Is it going to be a fluke? Well, there were a lot of things to see, I think, on film that this was potentially sustainable, and a lot of what you just highlighted with him.
Yeah. You know, I think something that doesn't really show up, you know, on the fantasy sheet, but actually in turn indirectly gives, you know, more production because then you're more trust on the field is what you said, pass pro. And then there's always that question, especially with the smaller guys like myself, where it's like, can he pass pro? But actually, it's funny because Justin, one of the things that he like says, like stands out about me is my pass protection. Like, first of all, it's a mental game. You have to be really disciplined with your eyes, knowing, you know, where you're supposed to be looking. And then now physically, can you go actually and get that done? And so, you know, if you're a little bit, you know, sketchy in the pass pro, guess what? It's going to be really hard for you to gain trust and get on the field because the NFL, if you guys haven't noticed, pays these quarterbacks a lot of money. And so we got to protect these guys. If you can't protect these guys, it's going to be hard for you to play. And so, you know, that it's not something that you see in the fantasy, but it's something that, you know, if you are and have that reputation of that, yeah, you can get it done, then it's going to get you a better chance to stay on the field even longer. So great point.
I remember actually episode one last season that we did with Justin in person at the Chargers, you know, team facility. And that was one of the things he brought up about you was, yeah, I love Austin's pass protection, stuff like that. You even made a point like, yeah, see Brandon Staley, like he loves my pass protection. You said that or whatever, like, and hey, if somebody's going to like your pass protection, it better as well. It might as well be, you know, at that point he didn't have the big contract, but now, you know, he's top 10 draft pick, the face of the franchise. That's the guy that probably needs to like your pass protection, pal.
Yeah, I think Brandon, I think it was like 2 years ago or something like that, that like we were talking about like things we need to work on. And I think that came up somehow. I forgot. I was like in a team meeting at one front. And so, yeah, that's where that comment came from. We're just like, yeah, see, Justin likes my pass pro.
Yeah, no, it's important. Well, the Rams finish actually with a couple of tough matchups here the next 2 weeks. Cleveland, Baltimore, two really good defenses. We'll see, actually, though. Myles Garrett might be banged up for that week 13 game. He's dealing with an injury. But those are two tough matchups for Kyren Williams. So we'll keep an eye on him. I think he is definitely a guy that could be a potential top. He's already been that guy, right? But like, I think he's got the role and, as you said, the individual play to be a potential top 10 running back down the stretch. And a guy that, I mean, shoot, he's not going to be a league winner, but he might help you win that league. Another guy I just want to highlight real quick before we do bold predictions and talk some 49ers here, Keaton Mitchell, another smaller guy, actually just played against your Chargers on Sunday night. And, you know, he's interesting because he's not like Kyren Williams. He is splitting that backfield three ways with Gus Edwards and Justice Hill are the other two guys in that backfield. But again, to bring it back to, I know athletic measurables are not anything and are not everything. And believe me, I've fought that war at the wide receiver position many times over the years. But unlike Kyren Williams, this is a guy who's like runs a 4.37. He's got a 10.6 broad jump. He's a smaller guy, though. He's 5'8", 179 pounds at the NFL scouting combine. So what does it take for a guy like him who clearly has juice, clearly has burst? Like, is there any chance that a player like this, I know you don't know the specifics of what's going on in the team or anything, but how does a guy like that go from, all right, they play me for 11 touches a game, it's like splash play stuff, to how does he like kind of maybe not take over, but get a bigger role in that backfield?
Yeah, I mean, the guy's been efficient. You know, I went back and watched some of his film, and the man, when he gets the ball, like something happens. And that's a great way to earn more reps. It reminds me of like kind of like my second year, third year, where I was like, okay, we get the ball in this guy's hand, and like, he's efficient. Like, man, like we got to get this guy more touches. And that's what it starts turning into. Like you said, they have a committee going on over there and they have different types of bodies too. You have Gus Edwards, you know, who's like a tank, you know, he's like 240, you know.
Gus and then Bus, baby.
Yeah, right. And then you have, you know, Keaton, who's like the little like, you know, scat, like not scat. I hate using the word scat, but like, right, like the little quick back where it's like, hey, this guy's a little smaller, a little bit more agile. And so depending on what they have, like all these read options and stuff, and so their offense isn't like a traditional you know, stand in the pocket passer offense that you see a lot of these running backs or these quarterbacks running, because they have Lamar Jackson, who is also very dynamic when he comes to running the ball. And so I think he's in this place where if he had to be that position where it was kind of like splitting carries, like let's see, like let's get this guy more touches. He's going to have 15 to 20 touches a game, probably be pretty efficient. But that's just not the offense that they're running over there. So I think he's just falling kind of some victim to, you know, what their offense is, which doesn't mean it's a good or bad thing. It's just kind of the scenario, but has shown when they do draw plays for him, whether it's the screens, even watching him run the inside zone, like this man is, mm-hmm. You can see he's got that burst. He's getting through there, running through arm tackles, making people miss. Good with his angles as well. Like I was talking about Williams, same thing there. So another guy that I think has a lot of potential, you know, as he continues to go through his career. And is he a rookie?
He's undrafted rookie.
Yeah, undrafted rookie. Man, shout out to undrafted guys getting it done too. That's what I'm talking about. This one of those things too, where when you're undrafted, the team didn't really have a lot of stock or zero stock in you. And so it's one of those things where you really got to climb. I call it taking the stairs. Like you got to keep building trust. And as you continue to do that, then you build a reputation for yourself. And then with that reputation, that can get you into a spot where you're like, okay, yeah, we trust this guy to be on the field. Because with undrafted guys, you know, they're like, ah, okay, what's the ceiling here? You know, we don't really know. Like we got these guys that are drafted, these guys we brought in. And so you got to kind of deal with some of the politics there and making sure that you can build the reputation for yourself and have that reputation that is like, okay, we can trust this guy in the field. So he's doing that.
Yeah. And Justice Hill has been with that team for many years. Gus Edwards has had like big stretches of play for this team and overcome big injuries. He's a guy that had been scoring a bunch of touchdowns prior to that game against you guys on Sunday night. And also, like, I will say this, though, you know, they did start Keaton Mitchell, whatever that means. We've talked about that it doesn't mean everything. You're like, who's the starter? Who runs out for the first play? But he played a season high 46% of the snaps against you guys. He got 9 carries. I mean, he's averaging 9.3 yards per carry, which is pretty absurd. That is not just efficient. That is like hyper unsustainable efficient. Right. I mean, if he starts to get 20 carries, he ain't averaging anything close to 9.3 yards per carry. But again, 33 snaps, a season high 46%, and they're going into their bye week, the Baltimore Ravens. And sometimes we've talked about this where teams can then self-scout a little bit and be like, all right, look, Keaton has given us something that we did not have before. And this is a team that wasn't expecting to start any of these guys, much less Keaton Mitchell, because they had J.K. Dobbins who got hurt in week one. I mean, and if you can see one thing from the way the Ravens run the ball, I know this doesn't matter because he's not going to play, but like, dude, J.K. Dobbins is going to have like a massive season if he didn't unfortunately have that injury there. So maybe Keaton Mitchell's a guy who late season, again, I won't be surprised either way. Maybe he just is like a continued part of a three-man committee. He's never fully on the field, but because of what he's given them, and as you said, because of some of these little tiny details in his game that he's been efficient on the inside zone stuff that they really want to establish, that he gets more work and becomes a guy that against the Rams in week 14 after their bye week, Jacksonville week 15. This is actually, they have a pretty tough schedule in terms of run defenses. I mean, San Francisco in week 16. Maybe we see more of Keaton Mitchell. It'd be interesting.
Yeah, looking forward to it.
All right, and perfect transition into their San Francisco 49ers, Philadelphia Eagles. We are actually going to make our bold predictions about this game. We'll hit on that in just a second. But before we do, you mentioned him earlier, Christian McCaffrey. I mean, I just want to have like a Christian McCaffrey appreciation moment here because number one, this guy is like a total, an animal. I don't even know what else to call him. He's just like a total animal. An
absolute stud, man. Like talk about like the king of like efficiency, big playmaking, running through tackles, right? Like basically like putting Madden on like rookie mode and like using all the buttons and every juke works. You know, it's like as close to that as you possibly can get with this guy, man, where he's making it work. Like it might be ugly, cloudy, doesn't matter. He's going to spin move. He jumps, he hurdles, he's juking left, juking right, catch the ball. Like it's like you put your character on 99 in Madden and, you know, you're putting it on, like I said, on rookie mode and all your moves work and you run for, you know, 100, 200 yards a game with this guy. And so, man, he definitely deserves his own appreciation because he right now is leading the way for the running back position, man. And it's been fun to watch.
Yeah, has another dominant effort on Thanksgiving, 19 carries, 2 touchdowns, 5, another just a ho-hum little 5 catches in the pass game too. And again, like I talked about, he almost never leaves the field. I mean, they've been a little bit more judicious with him over the last three games where like, oh yeah, he's playing 77% of the snaps. But again, this is a guy who has been on the field for every single snap in the game twice this year. And he would do this with Carolina too. And then the question was always, can he survive? And there have been injuries, but this year he's been, you know, he's had a couple of things here and there, but he's been available. He's been active and he's been great. And I, you know, we've had the conversation about running back value mostly in the offseason and everything like that. But if there's one shining example of like the 49ers were a good offense and like Kyle Shanahan was a, you know, even his father before him was just like, oh, pluck any random running back off the street and they're going to have success in my offense. You know, that's the way that that Shanahan system has been, again, even dating back to Mike Shanahan. But that guy, one of the best offensive coaches in the league who can just pluck production out of any running back was like, nope, I got to give up a boatload of draft picks and go get this guy. And the results are the results. I mean, our producer Evan highlighted the play on Thanksgiving where you could see almost all these linebackers are held by McCaffrey's presence. And it just allows Debo to just scramble into the end zone there.
Yeah, man. Like, well, it's like the Chris McCaffrey effect, like, especially when they get down in there, like this man scores touchdowns, right? He had, when we tied the record, you know, unfortunately they couldn't get him in against Jacksonville. But like, I mean, this man has scored every week besides then and, you know, multiple touchdown games. And so in the red zone, like, he's such a threat. He can run, he can catch. I mean, they have a ton of threats down there, honestly. Yeah, I mean, Debo's not a bad option to go to too. You know, neither is Brandon, you know, Ayuk or Kittle. Like, man, like, they have so many options that can go in there and get it done. And just how Christian's been playing and how defenses kind of set their tone of the week, you damn sure know that they're like, okay, we got to stop this guy. Like, this is the guy we got to stop. So, you know, you might have a one-on-one with Debo and, you know, Brandon, but like, hey, we're going to double team the running back. Or hey, if it's run game and so they're showing run, he's going to draw a lot of eyes down in there because of how elusive and how he just gets in there, right? It's not always pretty, but, you know, he'll squeak in there, turn, jump, you know, twist, like I said, and he'll get himself in there somehow. And yeah, you got a game plan for him for sure. If you don't, you know, I mean, he's going to, even if you do, like, all these teams have been, obviously, and they still can't stop it.
No, they still cannot stop it. So, I don't know, just so fascinating to see, like, that gravitational effect that he has as an as a running back. You don't, like, you see at different times, like, okay, they drop guys into the box to take away the run game. Or like, all right, if we do that, then are we leaving this receiver in single coverage? And despite all the threats that they have there for the 49ers, it's clear like who dictates defensive attention in ways that are pretty unique, I think, to Christian McCaffrey. So, I mean, he's been just an unbelievable player. And, man, imagine if the Carolina Panthers, who just fired their head coach in midseason for like the third head coach in a row. I mean, imagine if they had a player like that. I think their offense might be pretty good. But, you know, that we can only imagine about something like that. All right. That's that's an unfair pot shot at the Panthers. But
look, I don't think Christian minds the change. I mean, it seems like.
I would say so.
You know, we said, you know, having fun is winning. And guess what? They win a lot of games. So I would say he's probably having fun. Yeah,
I would say he probably doesn't regret the move. That's for sure. All right. So with that, again, let's talk about this game a little more. We'll do some bold predictions here. All right, Austin, since we're teaming up this season with the first ever Toyota Grand Highlander, the perfect vehicle for making new memories, we're going to create some memories of our own. In this segment, we are calling Future Snapshots. So make me a bold prediction, Austin. Who is going to have a memorable performance this weekend?
I think it's also important to recap on the last one because it's been a while. My last bold prediction was Tony Pollard. He had been in this drought of getting in the end zone, and everyone was like, oh, like, what's wrong with Tony Pollard? Well, it's like, okay. I was like, all right, everyone chill out. Yeah, I think, who is he playing? Like the Cardinals or something like that?
Playing the Panthers.
He was playing the Panthers. Yeah,
the aforementioned not having a lot of fun Carolina Panthers.
Yeah. And so I predicted he was going to go for 100. I think it was rushing yards. Maybe it was all purpose. If it was all purpose, I forgot. Then he got it with the touchdown as well. And so he got himself back on track. So this week, we got two stud running backs here with, you know, DeAndre Swift and then Christian McCaffrey. I like to keep it in the running back position just because I just keep it consistent all year. Yeah. But yeah, man, it's going to be a fun game to watch. Absolutely. Just two of, you know, the powerhouses in the league right now. And man, I think I'm going to go with just who's going to have the more memorable performance. It's hard to say because Christian, man, how do you go against that guy, man? Like, as far as like him or DeAndre Swift. Like, I know DeAndre Swift's going to run. He's going to do his thing. But Christian is just on such another level of his own that I'm going to make my bold prediction for Christian. I'm going to say 2 touchdowns and 150 all-purpose yards. He's going to pop off. That will be my bold prediction for this upcoming week.
I love it. That's great. I think, look, I have Christian McCaffrey on my most important dynasty team, so I'd love another couple touchdowns. That'd be great. Love to see it. Although, again, Chris Harris will continue to dunk on us. For me, my bold prediction, the last one I made, was Calvin Ridley was going to have a breakout performance, and he had 9 targets, over 100 yards, and 2 touchdowns. So finally, Calvin Ridley really having that mega game that I knew he was capable of, which is why I have him on our team, my team in our league. I'm going to stick at the wide receiver position because that's kind of the spot that I focus on the most, and I'll stick in that game. I think both Brandon Ayuk and A.J. Brown combine, that's the key here, 250 receiving yards combined.
Ooh.
And 3 total touchdowns. So that's a big number.
Yes.
It's a big number, but I think combined one way or another. And they got other guys, again, they're competing with. Devontae Smith is a stud. Debo is doing his thing. Of course, George Kittle is really good, but I think those big wide receiver performances, the 49ers defense is very good, but they have been exploited by like big physical outside receivers. Obviously, AJ Brown's one of the best in the game, and you know I love Brandon Ayuk. I think he can get going there. The Eagles have had their issues at the cornerback position. Gabe Davis went over 100 yards. Steph Diggs found the end zone in that big game last week. So I think those guys combined for 250 and 3 touchdowns.
Nice. That is a bolded prediction. I like it.
All right. If Austin and I are both correct, this is going to be a very high scoring game, but we'll see how that plays out.
I can see it being like somewhere in like high 20s, low 30s, you know?
Yeah.
We'll see.
I love it. I mean, these are probably the two best teams in that conference, so it wouldn't be surprising if these guys totally shine. See, we're making memories every day here on Eckler's Edge. Those are our future snapshots. Thanks again to Toyota and the first ever Grand Highlander. And Austin, that's going to do it for us today, buddy. Thank you for another great episode.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, we were kind of all over the place, you know, little deep life lessons, you know, some lessons about losing, lessons about moving forward, get you some good tips with the running backs and stashing them on your bench, looking for options out there. And then really found some guys that we're looking forward to watching throughout the rest of this season, man. So that was a good one. I enjoyed it.
Yeah, it was a banger of an episode. I'll say it was a banger of an episode.
Yeah, there you go.
So, yeah, look, if you didn't get something out of this today, whether it was how to handle adversity or how to handle your damn backup running backs in fantasy football, I don't know what to tell you. Maybe try re-listening to it. But, Austin, good luck to you on the field, man. We are hoping for just a big bounce-back performance so we don't have to hear about you in the panic meter. That is for
sure.
I'll do my best
to get out of there. Yeah.
A variety of reasons, man.
Yes.
Good luck this week. And, of course, good luck to all of you out there listening tomorrow. Make sure to come back to this very podcast feed because it's Stat Nerd Thursday heading into week 13. Dalton Del Don and I will give you one stat you need. I mean, capital NEED need to know for all 32 teams. Until then, we're out.